How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, and Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern. Today, we're back at 4 p.m. Eastern. Special early episode of Wrestling Observer Live here today with all of you. I have fatigue. I have Royal Rumble fatigue. I think I did the math yesterday. I did about 6.5 hours of Royal Rumble live coverage. And then I had done another 3.5 hours of podcast in the morning. So I was exhausted this morning. But we're here. By the way, I don't know if you guys noticed. I didn't say 6 p.m. East. And that's because of my friend Lance Storm. He was heckling me on social media that I call it East instead of Eastern. But with me today, of course, my tag team partner on We're Live Pal, the one, the only, Garrett Gonzalez. What's going on, Garrett?
What's up, man? So, you know, you had fatigue. I think a lot of people had fatigue after that show last night, but I'm sure we're going to get into it. I'm seeing a lot of negative feedback on the poor old Royal Rumble, man.
A lot of negative feedback.
Lots of fans who are frustrated, yeah.
Yeah, a ton of fans that are frustrated. It was a little bit more than I thought, because I don't think it was as... It wasn't the worst Rumble I've seen in recent years.
No.
I mean... Was it a great Rumble? No, it wasn't a great Rumble. I think there were some aspects of the show that were really good. I think there were a lot of aspects that were not good at all. And a lot of in the middle spots, you know? And I think that's where we're kind of at right now with this. Garrett, you know, you were watching with Dave, which is a
yes.
very unique perspective to have when it comes to watching pro wrestling. Like, I had, like, the environment here was a party because we were drinking. We were, you know, making jokes all night. We were taking phone calls. So it I'm kind of distracted from
yes.
the terribleness because it's such a good time. So I always have to rewatch it in the mornings. I ended up rewatching it in the morning, and it was not as enjoyable as it was watching doing a watch along. Give me your perspective. Like, what is it like? What was it like for you watching it at Dave's house?
Okay, so I would say that we had. Obviously, Dave is the hardcore of the hardcores, right? Like, he's watching like in a different way than almost anybody. But me and another buddy are very hardcore weekly watchers. But then we had other folks, my partner on the Fight Game podcast, John LaRocca, he doesn't watch anything other than NXT now. He doesn't watch any WWE product. So he's there, and I'm trying to think of when the last WWE show he would have watched. I'm guessing it was probably SummerSlam or the Survivor Series. So he hasn't been back. You know, he's just kind of picks and chooses. And then we had... this, you know, when I joined the live stream last night, the name that I forgot, the daughter of Pampero Firpo, she's been a regular at some of the bigger shows. And so she's there. She's very smart about wrestling. Like, she knows everything, but she doesn't also watch weekly. She kind of checks in. So we had a little bit of a mixed audience. I would say that it was a lot more fun because of the mixed audience, because they are the casual fan is seeing things a little bit differently than us hardcore fans are. But that made it enjoyable. If I had to watch this show by myself, I think I would have been pretty miserable because there just wasn't enough cohesiveness in the moments. Like, it was much more about, we're going to get to this moment, and how we get to this moment, it may be sketchy and not fun, but we're going to give the moment. And I just thought, you know, while you're going to give us the moment, how we get there is also important. And, you know, if you sat through both of those Royal Rumbles to get to the end, maybe you enjoyed the end. I enjoyed the end of both of them, but getting there was, whew, it was a ride, man. It took forever. There was so much bad wrestling in both of those Royal Rumbles.
Garrett, you know, and for the first time in a long time, like, I, you know, when you watch WWE program, you don't expect there to be a lot of bad wrestling. Obviously, there's certain individuals that are not as good as other people. You know, when you're watching NXT, they're a lot more green, they're up and coming. But for a main roster show, a lot of bad wrestling in the Rumble matches. And listen, a lot of it had to do with the fact that, you know, the Women's Rumble, which I think was better than the men's. I think I enjoyed it more because of the element of surprise, because they had so much surprise with it. But I mean, it was not good wrestling. Obviously, a lot of them are part timers, but you booked a match that really didn't look great. Ronda was fantastic her first run. You could see the ring rust on her tremendously.
Yes. Well, you know, the other thing that I think people are underestimating when it comes to Ronda, you have two kids. Yes. I have two kids of my own and three stepkids. When for Ronda to be back 4 months after giving birth,
oh, major credit,
is miraculous, right? But at the same time, giving birth has changed her body so much, you know, because she's someone who's trained her whole life, right? So to not be able to, you know, because her body's changing, she gives birth, there's a lot of adjustment that she has to take. So to actually figure out a way to get back into, I'm sure what she probably thinks is not great shape, but to most people would be really good shape. Give her time, because yeah. The 4 month thing was a ridiculous timeline, and she made it, and she's a competitor, and I know she put that date and circled it on her calendar and had to look at it every day. But let's wait, you know, 2 more months, 3 more months, 4 more months. 8 months was Becky's time frame, I think, right? And when she came back super ripped. So there's still an adjustment for Ronda. The ring rust is there, but also the thing about that match, you know, if we think about what a Ronda Rousey match is, lots of grappling, lots of rolling on the ground, lots of jiu-jitsu moves, lots of throws. You can't do that in a Royal Rumble because there's no room. So that's also part of it. And I, you know, the punches in the corner, everybody's punches in the corner were kind of silly and lousy. You know, I think we're targeting her because she's the biggest star. And look, she'll put that on her shoulders, right? She'll use this as motivation to come back better the next time. But I'm not going to hold her accountable for, you know, 4 months after giving childbirth to not be Ronda Rousey we've ever seen.
I think, you know, by WrestleMania time, she's going to be fine. You know, whatever they end up doing, which we'll talk about. I want to kind of run down the show quickly instead of doing, you know, play-by-play of what happened. I want to kind of get your opinion of it. There were some really good spots. And, you know, one example is the opener. Universal Championship, Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins defeated Roman via DQ. The match was really good. They went 14-25 on this, right? The match was really solid. Those two know each other really well. The ending, if you didn't see it, essentially what happened, Roman had him in a guillotine, and they're getting a little closer to the ring. Seth is inching his way to the ropes, and he goes limp. He's not moving. So what does the ref do? He picks up his hand, but he picks it up and he drops it on the ropes. And Roman refuses to release it, and he loses via DQ. I thought the match was great. I thought the finish kind of... I was like, okay, but why?
Yeah. Okay, so we know why they did it, right? Because they're probably coming back. They didn't want to beat Seth. The problem that I have with this finish, in addition to it just being ridiculous that we go 15 minutes of something that's really fun and then they end it in that way, if Seth isn't winning the next match, or if he isn't beating Roman,
yeah,
you know, him getting under Roman's skin is, there should be a payoff for that, right?
They should.
He does the shield. He does the shield stuff. He's been getting under Roman's skin on TV. The reason why Roman is so frustrated with him and keeps the choke on is because he got under his skin again with the fake fist bump and all that stuff. And so what's the payoff for Seth taking this beating if he's not beating Roman? You might as well just have beat him in that match and let's move on, because if Seth is going to be in the Raw main event at WrestleMania for the men's side, we need to get him ready for that match. And having him lose again to Roman I don't think is going to be a good way to get there.
No, I don't think it's a good way to get there at all. We also saw Becky Lynch defeat Doudrop to retain the championship. What did you think of this match?
This was a mixed one because, well, for one, there was no crowd heat. And I think that affected it. But you know what I liked about this match is, you know, we always talk about, if you go back and watch wrestling, you know, 20 years ago, even further, the art of the big man, like a big Van Vader who does, like, you know, big man stuff, is kind of lost today. Like, you know, you see lots of big wrestlers wanting to do high spots because it helps them get over with the crowd. You know, Keith Lee can do these crazy moves in the air because the crowd goes crazy for him. But I thought Doudrop worked very well in that big person, little person style. And I thought Becky did a really good job of being the little person. But Becky is also a heel. So usually the babyface underdog against the larger person is a story that works. Becky's the heel in this match. So I thought the psychology was a little weird. It was going to be. Doudrop is not over on Raw. Nobody gave her a chance because they don't believe in her character on Raw. But if you take all those things out of it and just look at it as the match, I kind of like the story that they told, but they were just dead on arrival because crowd was just sitting on their hands.
Oh yeah, the crowd was done because this was what, the third match out of it, right?
After the women's Royal Rumble.
Which I'm going to get back to the Rumble, and I want to get your opinion of the good spots here. But I kind of wanted to touch on, because this is a great example of, and I said this at the end of the show last night, where there are times that WWE does a great job at making you feel that something is important. Like Bobby Lashley mm-hmm. and Brock Lesnar. We knew this was an important match, and it could have gone either way. And which, by the way, it did. It didn't go the way that a lot of people assumed it would. It was, you know, it's 50-50 chance who wins this. When you have an element of surprise like that, it's fantastic. Because they emphasize that anything could happen here. With this match, you know, it's a women's title match. It's your women's world championship. Let's compare it to exactly what we have on the men's side. You put zero level of importance on the second biggest pay-per-view of the year on the title. And I think that that's where the problem is. And you'll never get, you know, Doudrop over, because Becky's over, you'll never get an opponent over if you really downplay the ability of them winning. You know, they did nothing to convince me that this person could possibly beat Becky. Not that it should always be that, but it's a big pay-per-view. This is the moment to use that and to elevate Doudrop. But instead, you know, we got, I don't know, what was it, 12 minutes, right? I got the time here. 12 minutes, 59 seconds. And it ended up being nothing. I know that they worked hard. I think Doudrop worked very hard at that, you know, the big style, hard-hitting style. And it kind of fell flat. Nobody cared. The audience didn't really care about this. Let's jump back to the Rumble. Obviously, Ronda won. Ronda came out. Big pop for Ronda. She threw out a bunch of people immediately. What were some of the other moments in the Rumble match that stood out to you?
Okay, my favorite moment lasted about 10 seconds, but it was when Nikki A.S.H. was in the ring and the real superhero Molly Holly comes in the ring. And as Molly Holly was coming down the aisle, I was like, you know what? WrestleMania pre-show match, give me Nikki A.S.H. and Molly Holly, because it'll be a good match. But then Nikki A.S.H. threw her out like so quickly. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's not the best story. You know, going into it, the things that I wanted to see were Rhea Ripley, how Rhea Ripley was going to fare in this match. Obviously, Bianca Belair's giant. Sasha Banks comes in as number one, and she shows up on SmackDown. You know, and to me, she's the best women's wrestler in the company. The missing moments, though, all of the older talent who were doing sort of like the goofy spots, the only one who really I thought was taken semi-seriously was Michelle McCool. Obviously, she's married to The Undertaker. That I'm sure that has something to do with it. But because they went back to these old, like Summer Rae, right? Like how many people did Summer Rae bring to the viewership on Peacock? Not that many.
I would say none.
And Alicia Fox, who I really love, Alicia Fox. But again, she's not someone who's going to bring many eyeballs to the show. So in those moments, you could have put in a Raquel Gonzalez or a Dakota Kai, and the match would have been better because they are better wrestlers. The problem, though, is I do wonder if they would have been the ones doing the 30 seconds and then I'm out spots, which wouldn't have done them any good. But I do think that because they had this, you know, when you're bringing back legends, you're not bringing back Trish Stratus, right? Trish Stratus could fit in that match and make it better. I thought Lita was really disappointing. Like, it was almost like she was hurt. And I don't want to say that she was or not. Like, I literally don't know. but she was moving in slow motion and she was a big part of that build, right? So she had to be in there for a while.
But you know who
looked
great? I
didn't think she looked good at all.
Michelle McCool was in there for 21 minutes and I think she looked out of all the, you know, the past generation wrestlers. And you know, she wasn't really around for too long when she was there.
No.
She looked really good. She hit that gnarly Styles Clash, you know, to start the... She entered the ring and hit a Styles Clash. It was fantastic. Lita went about 11 minutes. Michelle McCool went 21. I think out of all the legends that they brought back, or previous, I don't want to... We're using that term very loosely now, right? Legends.
Yeah.
I think she looked the best in that match.
Do you sense that the Bellas are going to come back and do some sort of tag title reign?
Which, you know what?
For 95% of that match, it looked like that was the case. But then I think Brie turned on Nikki as like a payback for something that probably happened 10 years ago.
I'm sure. I thought Nikki looked really good. She looked good. Brie was Brie. You know, that terrible music where she says it's Brie mode.
She got the yes chant to go.
Well, she's the only one allowed to do it. Brian Danielson can't do it, so she can't. I thought, you know, it is what it is. You know, was it entertaining? Yes. I thought that match was entertaining. I thought that match was fun. In the weeks leading up to this, in talking to people in WWE, on the corporate side, on the talent side, You could kind of tell that they were more excited for this because all the legends were going to come in and all the other people were looking to come in. There was more excitement whenever I asked about the Rumble match with this match than there was with the men's. And that's always a little worrisome to me because that either means they're going to do something really amazing or it's not going to go the way that we're kind of anticipating it.
Sure.
So I kind of feel that we got, you know, it wasn't that great. It wasn't what people anticipated with this. But, you know, it is what it is. So, Bobby Lashley defeated Brock Lesnar. I thought this match was good to win the WWE Championship. They told a good story at the end. You know, Paul Heyman, he's playing every side. He's working every side. He's back with Roman. Costs Brock Lesnar the match. Roman Reigns came in, interfered. Brock Lesnar loses the title. And Heyman leaves with Roman. 10 minutes, 14 seconds. Give me your thoughts on this.
Okay, so we were all trying to anticipate what was going to happen here, and my buddy who was watching with me, Jeremy Finestone, who does some stuff with me at Fight Game Media, he's very good at predicting WWE booking. Like, it's not like you have to, in order to predict what WWE is going to do, you can't think necessarily logically. You have to sort of think what they're trying to set up for heat. And he called the finish completely about what was going to happen. Right this match starts, I turned to Dave and I was like, okay, how would I be happy or how would I be comfortable with Brock losing here? Because you and I talked about this last night with Rich. I wanted the winners. I wanted Brock to win. I wanted Roman to win. We're going to get this big match at WrestleMania where both guys come in hot and they look untouchable. And we didn't get that. But I thought, you know, what would I be okay with? And I said, well, if Heyman turns on Brock at this point, I guess I'd be slightly okay with it. And then Dave goes, can't be this early. Like that's got to be like for something way bigger, right? Like it can't be so early in this story. And then they did it. And so You had both the Roman thing, because we had talked about Roman after that match. We're like, okay, Roman shouldn't do anything anymore in this show. Like, he did what he was supposed to do. He shouldn't come back. He doesn't need to be in the Rumble. Take the night off. You're good. And then he comes back. So it was just like a bunch of things that you could have probably told a little bit longer of a story to that they just decided to do in one single night without that natural expectation, right? So you and I also talked about this last night, which is, you know, Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant or Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage, these long, elaborate storylines.
Yeah.
They're simple at the same time, right? You have the person who is going to be in this match and they look unbeatable and the other person looks unbeatable and then they have this big match. We didn't see Hogan getting pinned by the Honky Tonk Man before WrestleMania 5. And that's kind of what I felt here. It's like, they're so worried about getting heat and telling the soap opera aspect of this story when all I wanted to see was the best against the best. And so that's why I was a little bit disappointed. I get that they need to pay off things, and you know they need people to tune in on SmackDown to hear what Brock's going to say, and you know it gives Paul Heyman some more things to do, which is more entertaining than not. I get all those things. I'm just saying, as a fan, to want to see that match at WrestleMania, they're not going to give me the match that I wanted because of what they did.
Yeah, I mean, they've done Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns 5 million times at this point, right? Yes. I think it's been the story for the last, since WrestleMania. When did Seth cash in? 35?
It was 31.
No way. Stop it. Oh, God.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, God. I was there. So, I mean, think about how long this has been going on. I don't know why I thought 35. It's unbelievable that they had an opportunity to do something very unique with two of the biggest talents of the last decade that this company has, and that's have a title versus title match at WrestleMania. Yeah. And when is the last time we got a title versus title world title versus world title match at WrestleMania? This could be the culmination of this story, but this marriage between the two over the last decade. You had every opportunity to do that, and you didn't. Obviously, they have other plans. But me as a fan, that's what I was looking at. And this could be me, my perspective. I wanted to see this. Even if you took the title off in a month or so or 2 months, you still got to see that moment. And it gave you a moment of celebration whether you wanted one to win or the other. They didn't do that. It's that mentality that you want to drive so much heat. It's all about heat. And you kind of take away from the end result here, which, you know, I don't know why.
I'm sure it is for TV, and as we learned with Ronda coming back to SmackDown and Ronda now supposedly working Charlotte at WrestleMania, it comes down to what the TV partners or Fox essentially wants, right? Because they are the one, you know, they ultimately on Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave said, you know, Ronda's back. Ronda's on SmackDown and Fox is happy. And that's ultimately, you know, that's the one that you're trying to get that next deal from is Fox.
Very interesting. Edge and Beth Phoenix defeated Miz and Maryse 12-28-29. I thought this was a fun match. It was exactly what I expected. And sometimes that's the best thing to look at. I didn't hate the match at all. I think Miz played the part well. I thought Maryse looked fantastic. I thought Beth looked fantastic. Edge looks remarkable. I thought it was a fun match. 12 minutes, 29 seconds right before the Men's Royal Rumble. What did you think?
Okay, so this is the moment last night when I called you because I went out to get coffee.
You had to go get coffee.
So then I called you and Rich during the whole thing. The Starbucks was closed. I had to scoot over to 7-Eleven, grab the coffee, come back, and by the time I came back, it was time for the main event. So I completely 100% missed it. But I mean, I heard it was pretty, you know, pretty fun. And,
it was a fun match.
Beth got put over like crazy, which is really cool because, you know, she is, I don't know if she's coming back, but I think with how great she looked on Raw, she looks like she's in tremendous physical shape. You could theoretically bring her back for, you know, you got these tag belts on the women's side. You know, I don't know. She's with the perfect person to take a beating like The Miz and then, you know, still be fine. Like, you can't really do anything to The Miz.
You know, the Edge's return has been so fascinating because, 2020 was a disaster in every possible way. But, you know, yes. Drew didn't get his story completed, which, I always look at Drew's run as WWE champion during the pandemic. I feel like, you know, there is a shift in the timeline, you know, in the universe where none of the stuff that we dealt with 2020 happened. And he was a major box office draw because he really, I think we were talking about it once too, where we were saying that, you know, you only get these opportunities a couple times given to you. And I think with Drew, there was a lot of stop and go and they finally committed to it and they couldn't get it across because of the pandemic. I think Edge has suffered the same way. He came back, big moment at SummerSlam. Listening to all the pay-per-views. Royal Rumble, I have fatigue from the show yet last night. Big return at Royal Rumble. People were shocked. You know, this guy, his career was over. He comes back. He's in that feud with Randy Orton. And it goes nowhere. He gets hurt, disappears, and he finally comes back when there's a live audience. And really, it's not the same. He had that match he had the WrestleMania match, which I honestly thought that would have been the moment to put a title on him and have this amazingly happy ending. But they turned it into a three-way match, and it got muddied. And Roman ended up being on top, buried both of them. I mean, when I'm saying buried, I mean in the match, not you know, gimmick-wise or match-wise or character-wise. I just feel like they just never went anywhere with this. And you would have had a great opportunity to present him as, you know, listen, Edge is back. It's his moment. He wins a title. He could drop the title to somebody younger and get him over. You could have that match with Danielson. You could have all these combinations that they never even touched.
It is unfortunate. And so, you know, we have another comparison, who is Jon Moxley, who was the champion at AEW with the same obstacles, right? No fans. And so why did Moxley work much better than Edge or even Drew? Yeah. I'm with you. I thought, you know, Drew was great, and unfortunately, it was just the wrong time. And maybe they could still recreate that in some way, because he did come back last night. He looked great. I'm just watching him, you know, every single time, going like, gosh, you know, is he healthy? What is he doing here? There was one, I think he took a powerbomb or something, and he immediately grabbed his collarbone. And I was like, please tell me he's working us, because that would be horrible. And it seems like he was. So good for him. I like seeing him back. But yeah, you know, Moxley, for whatever reason, did a much better job, and, you know, wins Wrestler of the Year and all these different things, including the Wrestling Observer newsletter, the fan vote. So, unfortunate, but I think if you hold off Edge till after the pandemic or when fans come back, it probably does mean a lot more. And now, as he's back, even when he does take some time off and he comes back, he does not feel fresh.
Yeah,
when he does come back, it's like, oh, we only saw him a couple months ago, and now he's back. I don't know what it is. It's an interesting study. I wonder if, you know, people are sort of looking at it and going like, why did his thing not work? And then why did some of these other things work? Because he was he comes from that era of, you know, John Cena, when wrestling was so much more pop, at least viewership for Raw was so much more bigger than it is today.
Yeah. Now we're at the Men's Rumble. You know, it was a rumble. You had four, I guess, surprises. Shane McMahon at number 28, Bad Bunny at number 27. By the way, Bad Bunny looked great. I gotta tell you, for a guy that's not a wrestler, he didn't do anything wrong.
He looked twice as good as Shane McMahon, three times as good as Shane McMahon.
You know what, though? I gotta tell you, like, even Johnny Knoxville looked better than some of the people that we saw wrestle on this pay-per-view. And I'm not a big Johnny Knoxville fan. I was getting my butt handed to me yesterday, because I kept saying I'm not a big Jackass fan. I don't like, for someone that loves wrestling, I don't like the concept of people getting hurt with stupidity. Yes. I love MMA. I love UFC. You know, I watch Bellator, everything. But it just never did it for me. So everybody in the chat room was like, how do you not like Jackass? I thought this was a very discombobulated Royal Rumble. You had, you know, the expectation is always set so high for this show, especially this match.
Yes.
This match, more than a WrestleMania main event, in my opinion. I think because there are more casual fans that are attracted to this than any other pro wrestling match that I know of. Every time we have a party, people are so into it. People that are not wrestling fans end up glued to the screen because it's ADD proof. Every 90 seconds, somebody's coming, something's happening, someone's getting thrown, you know, you're trying to figure things out. People are discussing who's coming out next. So there's an element of surprise. With this one, really, it was, it didn't do it for me.
Yeah, it was a little rough. I mean, you know, you talk about Shane. Because of, you know, that big comeback at the WrestleMania in Dallas, which was not WrestleMania 35 either. That was WrestleMania 32, which I was at in Hell in the Cell. He again, it's diminishing returns with him, and he looks older and older, and he just looks like an old dude now. I don't think he means as much as he did. You know, they keep bringing him back. Also, for someone who trains striking like he does,
the worst punches.
Almost looks like he steps with the wrong foot for every punch that he throws.
The jib jab that he does?
So here's the thing, right? Like, you would, you know, you talk to people, you would understand this probably better than most, but you mentioned Royal Rumble draws casual fans. There was so many people in my Facebook group, the Fight Game Media Facebook group, who they haven't watched WWE since last year's Royal Rumble or last year's WrestleMania, who did check in. Because now with them on Peacock, it's much easier to watch these shows. And, you know, that's what's great about these shows being on Peacock is more people can check in. I'm almost sure out of all, and I'm just kind of glancing through threads, almost every single one of them said, I'm done. I'm not coming back until the next thing, right? So they had an opportunity to draw back some old school fans with this match. Because exactly what you said, this match, for whatever reason, is much bigger to casual fans than most matches. And according, you know, there's no scientific study here. According to the folks who did do that, they left disappointed and said, yeah, this is why I don't watch anymore. So they didn't do anything to bring back those old fans. They did the same thing that is constantly turning those fans away, and they just did it again.
Yeah. So we got Brock Lesnar came out at number 30. Whose spot did he take? I think Corey Graves said that it was his spot. I think somebody tweeted that it was Corey Graves' spot.
I wanted them to troll us.
You know what?
Well, I wanted them to troll us with Veer.
Veer's finally here.
Yeah.
You know what? Veer just wins the Rumble. That's it. That's how we do it. That's how he starts out. You know, Brock came out and I was like, this is exactly what I thought was happening, you know?
For sure.
He came out and he killed everybody and he won the Rumble and he pointed at the freaking sign, which was the most awkward thing. And then the sign caught on fire. So it's a sign of things to come.
You know, it was interesting because, you know, I if you historically look back at Royal Rumbles, sort of like the final four is kind of cool because then they kind of feel each other. They're like, okay, do I have somebody who I can team with here? Yeah. Nope. Am I cornered? And so I always thought the final four was like kind of special. But in both of these matches, the final four didn't really mean anything. And they just went immediately. Like, it was like we go through this entire match to get to the final two. And the final two is so quick to eliminate. And the match, it's like there's a race to get this match over once we get down to the final two or final three. And I kind of like I would have split it up. I would have said, okay, for Ronda and Charlotte, let's let them go for 2.5, 3, 4 minutes. You know, maybe Ronda couldn't do that. It's possible. But if not, let's flip it. Let's have Brock and Drew have like a, you know, a little bit of a tete-a-tete from the WrestleMania a couple years ago. Let's revisit that and let's make this thing feel big. Let's make Drew feel on Brock's level, and then Brock beats, you know, big time Drew, and it looks more impressive. But they just immediately went to the elimination so quickly that I think they could have paid it off a little bit better.
I was curious if, I mean, Drew was hurt and he was taking time off, and that kind of changed plans from a month ago or early in the month. Did he just come in just for this spot? Is he still hurt? I mean, this is all a question that we don't have an answer to.
I don't have an answer either. I think, you know, the time off, so I think his goal was always to be back by Mania. I don't know if his goal was to be back necessarily by Royal Rumble and they needed somebody, or maybe he just feels better than he thought he was going to feel. But I do think that Mania was his target for sure.
Yeah.
And I just hope that he just feels so much better now, and then he's good to go.
He's a little smaller, so you could tell that he's not really training as hard as he was, you know, a year ago. So obviously this all plays in part. So Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair is a tentative match for WrestleMania with the concept that Ronda Rousey will face Becky Lynch next year at WrestleMania. Garrett, I know you have some insight on this.
Well, I was told by somebody in particular who, you know, who has some insight on this, and they said, because when the announcement came out that it was Ronda, we all just thought logically, Ronda and Becky, like that's the hottest match that they can put on. And that person said, nope, Ronda and Charlotte. And I was like, wow, I can't, that just boggles my mind.
Yeah.
So on Friday, I go to record with Dave, and he's got more news on Ronda, and he even announced it on Wrestling Observer Radio, like Ronda's going to be back. She's going to be back longer than, you know, we even realized. She's going to be back for the full year. She's going to be on TV, and she's going to be placed on SmackDown, which was really interesting. And so he said, you know, it's what Fox wanted. They wanted Ronda, so they're putting Ronda on SmackDown. And then I said, this is even before we got on air, I said, I'm hearing Ronda Charlotte. And he goes, no, it's Ronda Becky. And I was like, okay. Yeah. So we went with it on that show. And so then earlier that morning, the next morning, he texts me and he's like, it's Ronda Charlotte. And I was like, wow, that changed, you know, kind of immediately. And he explained this on Wrestling Observer Radio last night. But I asked him when I saw him yesterday, I said, well, what happened? Well, how did the communication, you know, did it change? Are they changing their minds? Like, what's happening? He said, the person that he was communicating with, he and that person in text had a miscommunication. So the person thought Dave was asking if it's going to be Ronda versus Becky. And Dave was asking about Ronda versus Charlotte. So that's the whole story of, you know, Dave was taking a little bit of heat for the change, but that's why. And so, you know, I did make sure. I was like, hey, you may want to check on this, you know, Ronda Charlotte thing, because that's what I heard. And he's like, nope, the person told me Ronda Becky. And I was like, okay.
So
but then they got back to him.
It's very interesting because I think everybody assumed that this is, you got to do Becky, right? So when Friday, I was speaking to somebody, and this is word for word, and I said this on Mat Men on Thursday also, and it kind of maybe it jostled their mind a little bit, but the answer what was said to me was, listen, here's the problem: we don't have a lot of time to get to Becky and Ronda. We don't have a lot of time because
this is what you said on We're Live, pal.
And I said it on We're Live, pal. Yeah. This was a week prior. So this was not this Friday, but the Friday before. We don't have a lot of time to do this. If we do it, we got to do it now because a lot of things change very rapidly. People start families, people get married, people move, you have more kids, you know. Your priorities shift, so they really want to get to that match. And the way that it was said to me, it came off like oh crap, they're not going to do it. You know, listening now. So I messaged him this morning. I'm like, did you know? He goes, yeah, I had a clue. That was the response. But right. It looks like they want to do Charlotte, get this through, and then Becky's the next one. But do you wait a year? I don't. Why would you wait?
I mean, so many things can go wrong, right?
Everything could go wrong because I don't think they anticipated Ronda to be out this long. They didn't anticipate a pandemic. They didn't anticipate Becky, getting pregnant. A lot of these. This is just how life is, and it's very difficult to look a year ahead and say, okay, this is what we're definitely doing a year from now.
So if they can get to it in LA, it'll be big. That's where Ronda, you know, was living. I don't think she lives in LA anymore.
It could be the biggest WrestleMania, right? Because you could have Ronda and Becky, and you could have Roman and Reigns. And I mean, that building is going to blow up.
If Taramana DJ is going to be there, there will be lots of eyeballs on that show. Yeah. Here's the thing, right? I would love for them to start building to Ronda and Becky literally at WrestleMania, right? Let's do the full year-long build to get people interested in this match. If they don't do it that way, I would actually run the match at SummerSlam because they got to fill that building in Nashville for SummerSlam, and then do the rematch at WrestleMania, because if you never get to the rematch at WrestleMania, at least you did it and you got something out of that, the bigness of that match. But yeah, you know, the thing that I think that is most interesting about this, and again, you would know better than most, which is the influence on Fox when it comes to the booking of these shows, when it comes to who's going to be on the show, who did they had wanted Charlotte forever, right? Like Charlotte to them is the bigger star than Becky. So they wanted her. And now they get the Ronda versus Charlotte WrestleMania thing, which is going to be a major focus on SmackDown. So they get that. Now, you and I sort of joked about this last night on the live stream. And, you know, we're thinking like money matches, you know, Rock versus Roman, Brock versus Roman, Ronda versus Becky. And I joked and said, you know, the biggest money match is really Nick Khan versus Fox executives to get that, you know, to get that next TV deal. Cause that's what he is building for, right? He is trying to put all the things in place so that WWE and Fox come to the table and they are in an agreement and WWE gets a giant raise again. Like that's more important than any of these matches that we as wrestling fans are creating in our own heads.
I think I said Roman versus Reigns at WrestleMania in LA. You know what? If WWE could do that match, they would. They would in a heartbeat. They wouldn't even consider any other match for the main event. I you know, we'll see what happens. Listen, WrestleMania is always fun. You know, I think they're too big to be just a disaster. I don't think it'll be a disaster. I think it'll be a fun show. But, you know, again, I think this is the pivotal shift from what the casual fans want to watch and what we want to watch. I think this is what's happening now. We're seeing a shift in the viewing of wrestling. So the story is that Ronda Rousey signed a 1-year deal and will be a regular on SmackDown, like you mentioned. Some of the other notes were that nobody was from NXT was used at all during this show, which was very surprising to me. I know that there were a lot of people backstage. It's Royal Rumble, but I know a lot of people were there. They had a lot of backups they didn't use. Here's the other thing. On Friday, we discovered that Big E was quietly moved to the SmackDown roster prior to Rumble.
Yes.
I mean, that's okay. So you just took your number one babyface from Raw and moved him. I don't know what the plan there is. Brock is scheduled for Raw and is scheduled to make his Rumble decision. So we'll get an answer. Ronda will also be at Raw. WWE announced 44,390 fans in attendance. I think WrestleTix on Twitter had it around 39 and some change.
Yeah, so, Dave had it at 38 in the morning yesterday, I think.
Yeah, and there were a lot of tickets that moved. I think they moved like a good 700 or so tickets throughout. So we'll find out what the final one was. And, you know, sign of things, the WrestleMania sign caught on fire in the middle of the event, and it was evacuated. You know
what they should have done? If they could have booked the WrestleMania sign going on fire, they could have like brought the Undertaker out to point to the sign and shoot lightning
to extinguish it.
And
isn't that how it works? You know. Lightning extinguishes fire. It's fantastic. I mean, just wacky stuff. Loved it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, this is the moment. This is the hot moment. The next show, the next major pay-per-view is in Saudi Arabia, the Chamber. That's going to be a big show. It's a Saturday show. First time they're doing it on a Saturday. So they're treating this like a...
Does Seth run the Chamber to get the title shot at Lashley? Like, I'm trying to figure out what they do for that show.
What if they do this? Okay. They say Brock Lesnar was not an official contender in it. And the final five, or whoever it was, they're in the Chamber. I don't know who were the final four or final five. I can't remember.
Drew.
Drew was the final two. Randy.
Yeah, Randy got knocked out pretty quickly, though, because he was at, what, number 27 or 28?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you do it that way, you know, if the whole idea is like we're screwing Brock and he's got to come back, like he's the giant baby face, and then he's got to beat Roman in order for that story to sort of play out correctly. So, you know, that would be Brock's WrestleMania win. So that would be kind of interesting. But I don't know. You know, I'm sure they don't even know yet, because from what I understand, at least when I was talking to Dave, like they had changed plans on, I'm not sure which Rumble, but maybe both of them, but they had definitely like been changing the story like yesterday for this stuff. So
I don't know, man.
Okay, well, okay, wait. So, yeah. so if we get to the final four,
okay,
the final four would have been
Shane McMahon, Bad Bunny, yes. Drew, and Brock.
Yes, or maybe Riddle. Maybe Riddle was after, like, Bad Bunny and Riddle like went out like right after each other. So, Bad Bunny, Riddle, Shane, Brock, Drew, and then Randy. Yeah,
I mean, that's a wacky elimination chamber that I could see them doing. I mean, take away Bad Bunny. Right, remove Bad Bunny from this. You could put Riddle in there, so Shane is back. Here's the other thing, right? We have Shane in there, and he doesn't do anything with Austin Theory. I thought that would have been a nice tongue-in-cheek kind of, you know, laugh.
Is Shane in on that joke, though? Like, would he be... Would that be something that he wants to do? Is he in... On the idea that he is not the chosen son. Vince in a shark cage, man.
Vince in a shark cage. He's not the chosen son, Austin. And he does like, and I want, you know what I want? If they were to do this, I'm writing WWE right now, okay? And I want them to do this on Raw. You know, like, Vince wants to do all the things he never did with Shane. Like, he takes Austin Theory fishing, and he just berates him about how terrible of a fisherman he is. He takes him to the amusement park and just yells at him that he doesn't want to ride all the big rides. Like, He just takes him to all these things, just scolds him the whole time. And Shane is getting jealous that he's doing this with his father. And you start this thing, and they have some wacky match. Vince is in a shark cage over the ring at WrestleMania, and they're fighting over the love of this man, this wacky man. Why not? Is it crazier than everything else that they do?
I mean, it would be like one of the more meta things that they would.
Alexa Bliss was bleeding, you know, black goo out of her mouth and came out of a box last year. They've turned her into the macabre. Yeah. I mean, everything is possible.
I'm into it. I think it's entertaining. I just wonder if Shane would be like, gosh, do I have to be reminded of my childhood as I come back to wrestling? But you know what? He makes a big paycheck too, yeah. So maybe he'll be into it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That's better creative than probably what they have in mind, but.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. Rampage. I know that you didn't really spend time on Rampage, but Jon Moxley had a great match. He's looking great with Bowen. I think good showcase that they had. I think I like Max Caster and Anthony Bowen. Very good act together. They went 12 minutes. FTR defeated Lee Johnson and Brock Anderson, 9 minutes. You also had
Jake. That match went that long.
Yeah. 9:10 aired, it says in my notes. So I guess it was on TV for 9:10.
Wow.
Jade Cargill with defeated Julia Hart. Jade looks super, super impressive. She's a commodity. I know that people in WWE are looking at her and they're very interested in her.
I can imagine. Just a shout out to the Grap City Pod, which is Will Washington's podcast. We've had Will Washington on World Life Pal. He had Jade on Grapsity, which is, I think it's on the Fightful YouTube channel. So check that out if you want to see Jade. From what Will said, the interview went really well. So that's kind of cool.
No, I definitely have to check it out. Will's a good dude. And we got Jurassic Express with Christian defeating Private Party. And this led to the Ass Boys. I mean, listen, that's their name, right? You can't call them anything else.
Nope.
It's over. That's the name. Came out and they beat up, you know, they beat up Jurassic Express, setting up a match for later down the road. Preview for Dynamite this Wednesday. CM Punk versus MJF. Nyla Rose, Ruby Soho, and the House of Black versus Pac and Penta. So let's talk about this. CM Punk MJF next Wednesday in Chicago. Tickets have been for that show, but listen, they've saturated that market as much as they can. I think we all understand why.
Yeah.
Do they actually have a match, or do they do something wacky here?
I think they have to have a match. I'm just so curious at what the finish is going to be for that match, because for the reason that you said, that is a hot market and they've overdone it. You don't want to kill the town by not having the match, right? Like, you have to have the match, or you have to have something that is worth the crowd, you know, in their eyes, the hometown boy, CM Punk. So I'm very interested to see what the booking is going to be in this thing, because they've stretched it out for so long. Is Wardlow going to be involved? But there's like lots of things involving that feud That is so intriguing, and it's I would imagine that you know, they'll do a pretty good rating for that, and I'm just very curious. Like, I literally have no idea. I don't even know what I would do if I was Tony Khan. So I'm just going to sit back and see what happens. And you know, I'm sure everyone will be talking about it too.
Well, they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place here, right? Because by WWE logic, you wouldn't give this match, right? You would wait because there's a pay-per-view coming. You push this to a pay-per-view. But AEW doesn't operate that way. So my mind doesn't know what to do with this. Yes. I'm hoping they actually have a match and something happens with Wardlow, and maybe you start the feud with MJF and Wardlow, and that's the match at the pay-per-view, and CM Punk could go to somebody else. You can marry him with somebody else for the pay-per-view. I don't know, but you know, now it's getting very interesting because MJF has elevated to the point of a main eventer. CM Punk, obviously, he's CM Punk. You have Danielson coming back, and he's with Mox. There's a lot of moving parts here. Eventually, we're going to find out, you know, what happens. Who's the opponent at the pay-per-view for Hangman? That's the other part of this.
Right. Yeah, that is definitely the other part. By the way, did you see what MJF tweeted in response to Brian Alvarez's Twitter poll?
No.
About whether we like pay-per-views on Saturdays or Sundays?
No, what do you write?
Saturday like clearly won the poll, and MJF replied to Brian saying something like, that just proves that Wrestling Observer newsletter readers are all virgins because they want to watch wrestling on Saturday.
Well, you know what I would say? MJF's from New York. You know, yes. What, you know what we call going out on Saturdays? Amateur hour. You know what? You go out on a Thursday night. A Wednesday and a Thursday night is what you do in New York. He's from New York. He knows the rules.
Yeah. No, that 100% makes sense. It's like the people who like to go out on New Year's Eve the one time a year, and it's just like I stay away
fantastic
from those people.
He's so good, MJF. Preview for Rampage next Friday. Mercedes Martinez versus Thunder Rosa should be a good match. And Jay Lethal versus Ricky Starks for the FTW Championship. ECW still exists in this universe that we're in 2022, where
what happened to Jay Lethal? Like he did that match with Sammy Guevara, then he saved who did he save? Whatchamacall? He saved,
on the ramp.
The kid. Yeah. Well, who's the kid? Why am I forgetting his name? Dante Martin. He saved Dante Martin. But otherwise, like, Jay Lethal has not been on TV. So
I don't know. I don't know what happened, but he's back now, facing Ricky Starks.
I guess
Starks
he's been on, probably been on Dark.
I don't think he has.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think he has. I'm actually a little surprised by that. I'm not too sure. Did you watch any of the Bola stuff night one?
Can anybody watch it? I don't think it's on.
I'm sorry.
Right?
What I should have said was, did you read about any of the stuff about Bola?
Only that the Bandido match was supposedly amazing live. I mean, I saw that for sure. But you know, Dave is probably, after watching that Rumble, he was probably pretty sad that he was not in at the Globe in L.A. watching Bola.
Yeah, I'm curious how. What was the attendance? Did it do well?
I'm sure it sold the Globe out because there's not that. I think it's only 1,000 fans or whatever can fit in there. I've only been there once, so my only PWG show was, I think it was the first time they ever ran the Globe. I went with Dave, and Dave's got some friends who are kind of regulars at PWG. And I think the main event was Keith Lee against Chucky T. Wow. But the best, my favorite match was Jeff Cobb and Jonah, because those dudes were hitting the ropes and the corners so hard. I literally thought the ring was physically moving. Like, you could feel it. And those guys were, you know, those guys are beasts. So, but yeah, it's the only PWG show I've ever been to. Have you ever been?
I almost made it to Reseda. I was in LA, and there was a PWG show, and LA apparently got a big storm. It doesn't rain ever, and apparently a huge storm was hitting, and my flight got moved. They canceled my flight. They freaked out, so they moved it to the night before, and I was supposed to go to Reseda. So did not happen. I never made it to a PWG show, unfortunately. I've always wanted to. Next, you know, I could figure it out eventually.
Yeah, I mean, for, you know, the
I'll use
environment.
The Observer. I'll use the Observer tag. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm from the Wrestling Observer, you know?
The environment and the atmosphere, it's pretty incredible. Like there's a high expectation also from that crowd. And so when those wrestlers deliver that expectation, they definitely get the applause, and it feels like a pretty special place.
We got about 5 minutes, and I want to ask you a bunch of questions, because obviously I consider you have great insight of pro wrestling. That's why we're Live Pal. It's such an awesome show. We do it with Denise on Tuesdays, and you've been on everything that we do with Matt Men and the Watch Alongs. I want to get your opinion on 2022 and what your outlook is for the end of the year. I was talking to Dave last week about this on the show and what it kind of looks like. You know, we are in a very interesting year, because this is going to be the first uninterrupted year in nearly 2 years that, you know, people are going on with their lives when it comes to going to sporting events, you know, as much as we can right now.
We hope, knock on wood.
I don't want to jinx it like I did with that Charlotte match. But where do you see, you know, let's go to November of this year.
Okay.
Where do you see us in November, when it comes to AEW, when it comes to WWE, Ring of Honor, Impact, just the whole landscape when it comes to pro wrestling? Are we in a better place, or is there going to be a decline coming up?
That is interesting. So I think AEW is doing, you know, very, very smart stuff. I know a lot of people think that they're signing too many people or whatever, but they're creating a roster. They're also going to not renew certain contracts. They're just getting really good wrestlers underneath their belt and then trying to figure out who connects to the TV audience and who connects to the pay-per-view audience. Always great to have more options than less options. On the WWE side, I think the thing that's most interesting to me is, there's still going to be, I don't know what WWE's calendar looks like as far as talent and when their contracts are coming up, but AEW is established, right? The problem with AEW is WWE is still going to be able to, you know, if it comes to just dollars, WWE is still going to be able to outspend AEW for the top talent. But if AEW, you know, whenever their next TV deal is, if they get the TV deal that they're looking for, they become more of a player for that top dollar talent, just because they're going to have more money. And so I think it's going to be really interesting to see what WWE does and who they think are going to be the players. You know, we're only looking forward, you know, another 10 months. They have to look forward 3 to 5 years, right? They got to know, okay, who's my top guy or who's my top female in 3 to 5 years, because those are the people that I have to keep, and I cannot let AEW get them no matter what, because they're going to be the people that we push. So that's what's intriguing to me. The problem is I don't know who those people are, but I would imagine that WWE is going to tie up all of the people that they believe are going to be their top folks in the next several years. And the ones that they don't, they're going to be at AEW. So what does that mean? I think AEW is going to ultimately have the better wrestling, because they're going to have the better workers. I think Vince is going to try his best to keep the star power that he has. I mean, you look at Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, right? Like they stuck around. They did not go to AEW, which is kind of the en vogue thing. So it's going to be clear to us, I think, who WWE feels is their future and who they feel are stars, right? Like, you know, we see on TV Becky, Roman, Charlotte, Brock, Drew, like those are all their top folks. But is Matt Riddle one of them? You know, yeah. He's so talented. He's been amazing on Raw. He's like my one, you know, RK-Bro is my favorite act on Raw right now. Randy's a lifer. He's not leaving anywhere. But it's someone like Matt Riddle. And because, you know, going back to that casual fan thing that we were talking about, I think the old school fans who don't currently watch WWE, They want to see a baby face who gets over organically, who they can get behind, and they can see from the journey of building this person up to eventually get to the title. Matt Riddle is somebody who could be that person for those casual fans. They could sink their teeth into Matt Riddle to see him achieve that. And WWE, the thing that they cannot do is book a baby face to save their life who organically rises to the top. It's just, they can't for whatever reason. So I wonder if AEW is able to grab folks who WWE doesn't see as a star, like Adam Cole, pull them over and create the competition. I think come November, the demos are going to be a little, I'm trying to figure out how to do my hands here, a little more even than even now. And I'm not saying that AEW is going to win the demo every week. You know, they're not going to beat Raw in the 18 to 49. Obviously, the nights are different. The competition is different. So it's never going to be an apples to apples true comparison. But I do think come November, that number will be closer on a weekly basis. And I do think AEW will probably beat WWE, especially when football season comes back around. Not saying half of the time, not even saying, you know, 25% of the time, but just I think it's going to start happening more regularly than we realize.
I would agree with you. And also, here's the other thing, right? AEW is going to throw everything in the kitchen sink for these ratings to be higher than what they are currently, because they are going into renewal or negotiations for a new contract soon, right? 2024. Sure. So you want to make sure that, you know, 2023 is the time for negotiations more than enough, right? So you want to be prepared now and say, look at our ratings. Same thing's going to go for SmackDown. Same thing's going to go for Raw. You know, you kind of pop that rating as much as you can, because that's the last thing that people look at. It's not about what you did two years ago. It's about now. So I think we're going to see a lot of interesting things come our way with that. Garrett, man, I deeply appreciate you coming on. Last minute.
Love it.
You got a big game tonight. Niners. You think you're going to the Super Bowl?
I don't like to make the prediction because the last 2 weeks were definitely roller coasters. And if I would have said, oh, I was so sure that they were going to beat the Cowboys or beat the Packers, not sure at all throughout both games, not sure at all until the end of the game. You know, we've beat the Rams so many times recently, but you know, football is football. Football is king because of the unpredictability and the roller coaster ride and the 3 hours of craziness that happens. All I will say is the 49ers are playing with house money. This season has been a success based on how it started. They're in the NFC Championship. I desperately hope for them to win. But even if they don't win, they have definitely had a successful season. Yeah. And look, I'm ready for two more games if they get there. The Chiefs are scary. I don't even know what the score is in the game right now, but I'm fine with us trying to get some revenge for the Chiefs beating us in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I'll sign up for that. So I'm just hoping that my heart, if they don't win, I just hope that my heart doesn't get broken too badly, because then I'll be sad. But we're getting a new puppy today, so I guess I can't be too sad.
Oh, look at that. Excellent. Yeah. What kind of puppy?
Getting a new puppy. So a mini schnauzer, same mother and father as the current mini schnauzer we have, Iggy. So,
oh, very cool.
You know, ultimately life is good. So
life is good. Garrett, thank you so much for coming on. And we'll be back on Tuesday. We're going to skip Monday, but Garrett and I are going to be back with Denise Salcedo. Where's Denise? Denise is right there. For Will Live Pal on Tuesday. I'll be back on Thursday with Matt Men. Very early for the West Coast people, but on the East Coast, 10 a.m. East. We do it live each and every week. 10:30 East. My apologies. And I'll be back
Eastern.
Again.
Don't you? Eastern. Lance
Eastern.
Is gonna
Eastern.
Be in
Lance
your DMs
is going to be mad. Lance is mad at me for saying East instead of Eastern. We'll be back with that. And, of course, Wrestling Observer Live is back on Sports Byline next week, 6 p.m. Eastern. I have a nice guest lined up for that show. It should be a lot of fun. And that's it for this week, guys. Wrestling Observer Live. See you next time. Take care.